Good morning. Welcome. I'm the Reverend Rachel Campbell. Welcome to worship here today for you who are in person and the many that will be watching online later today or the split screen right now. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. We know that there is a special event going on right now as it's happening, and we are hoping and praying. We know we're going to get a medal no matter what, so that's a good thing. But we're hoping for the gold, so hopefully that is what we get, and we'll hear that news later this morning. Today, I do know that we have some birthdays in our congregation. On Wednesday, this past Wednesday, Wynn, you turned 7! Wow! Happy birthday! 7, I love it. Lucky 7, that's wonderful. I do know some birthdays that are also on Winnie Moore's. Had a birthday February 21st, so Winnie, happy birthday. February 22nd, and Arlene watches faithfully every Sunday. Arlene Craig, happy birthday! We will wave. And then on February 23rd, yes, it is, and I know that she watches as well, Beulah Waite's birthday, and she's my birthday twin. It's my birthday tomorrow, too, February 23rd. So wonderful. Irene Ramsey on February 25th and Shirley Brennan. So we'll wave again. Happy birthday. And later in the week, this week on February 27th, Marnie Noy. But I also just heard too, and Marnie will wave as well, and we'll sing happy birthday to everybody. But Alan Goody, am I right? On February 24th has a birthday. So happy birthday. Wonderful. Any other birthdays? Any other birthdays for this week or what? Yes? 24th. Yours is the 24th? We're almost birthday twins. Happy birthday. Oh, wonderful. So your birthday twins with Alan, just to let you know, the 24th. Alan, back there. Any other birthdays? Any other birthdays? Let us sing happy birthday, dear friends.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy
I also want to mention that the Trinity UCC Summerside Walking Robins, they're the group that will be walking for the coldest night of the year this year. They will be available to, if you want to go and to make a donation to that for Lifehouse at the office this week. And I just want to share with you members of the team. The team captain is Joyce Hazard, but we have Pat Day, Kevin Barber, Bernetta Newman, Hannah Culliquid, Elizabeth Kearney. We have Marg Arsenault, Sharon Mose, and we have Joyce Montgomery and Diane Windsor. Did I miss anybody? Wonderful. Let's give them a round of applause. They're working really hard. They are staying in the top 10, and I was told by Beth that they have some tricks up their sleeve. So they got some things happening this week. If you want to support the team, you can go online, or you can just call the office or stop in at the office, and they will show you all the different ways that you can be supportive of their team. Thank you so much in the coldest night of the year fundraiser. Today is with deep gratitude and respect that Trinity United Church Summerside gathers and worships an unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Abiquit, Prince Edward Island, is covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. Let us prepare ourselves for worship. Each Sunday at the beginning of service, we light the Christ candle as a sign and symbol of Christ's presence with us. And I invite Vander to light the Christ candle for us today. Thank you, Vander. When we light the candle, it reminds us to take the light of Christ out into the world in our thoughts and in our deeds. Thank you. Amen. He's tougher than me. Friends, please join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletins and on the screen. Blessed and blessing, loving and loved, God's people, come to this place. From times of work, from times of play, from times of busyness, from times away, God's people, come. To speak and to receive, to sing and to pray, God's people, come.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And let us join our voices yet again for the gathering prayer. Please pray with me. God of the smooth road, God of the rough places, God of the wilderness paths, thank you. Thank you for calling us out when we want to wrap ourselves up and hide. Thank you for giving us safe space when everything is just too much. Thank you for blessing all creation with your presence and with your love. Open our hearts, we pray. Open our minds. Open our souls, and by your grace, fill them with your abundant love, not only so that we would be changed, not only so that we would be blessed, but so that we can be blessings and people of transformation in your world. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And as a Christian family, let us join our voices together and pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For those ages 3 to 15, please come forward for our time for all ages, as well as getting ready to go into junior church. And the score is 1-1. Woo! Friends, please come forward. Exciting, exciting, exciting. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello. Come on down. Sit where you are comfortable. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So one of the things that Junior Church is doing, which I think is really fantastic, that I want to get a chance to tell you about, is throughout Lent, Junior Church is actually taking time, through the whole time of Lent, to really explore Holy Week. They're going to dive into the scriptures of Holy Week, the lessons of Holy Week, because a lot of times what ends up happening, we, as the bigger people, some of us bigger than others, taller than others, we get a lot of chance to go to different services and stuff through Holy Week, but maybe if we're in junior church, we only get a chance to have Palm Sunday, and then we jump right ahead to Easter, right? So this time, you're going to explore all those different texts a little bit more and learn a little bit more about them. So today, Caitlin's going to share with us what you would hear on Palm Sunday. She's going to share that with you because you're going to dive into all those different stories all the time throughout Lent so that you can give it that attention that it needs. Caitlin, will you share with us the Palm Sunday service story with us today?
Palm Sunday. Friends, Jesus said to his disciples, I need to go to Jerusalem. I've got some important things to do, and I want to celebrate Passover with you there. Will you come with me? Sure, said the disciples. Passover is a great holiday, such good food, and what a wonderful story Passover celebrates. The exodus of God's people, the Israelites, from Egypt. It's good to be with friends and family at Passover. So Jesus and his friends started to go to Jerusalem. When they got close to the city, Jesus said, I'd like two of you to go borrow a donkey in the next village over. Please tell the owner I need it. He'll understand. When the two friends came back with the donkey, Jesus climbed on its back and rode down the hill into the city of Jerusalem. The disciples followed behind him. Suddenly, they found themselves in a parade. People were singing and shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! Here comes God's King! Hosanna! Praise God! People all over heard the shouting and singing, and they joined the parade too. Hundreds of people, thousands of people. They started taking off their coats and laying them on the ground for Jesus and the donkey to walk on. They pulled palm branches down from the trees and waved them as they sang. They threw their palms on the ground to make a path for Jesus. The crowds gave Jesus a royal welcome as he rode into the city, just like a king. But Jesus was a very different king. He was a king of peace. Not everyone understood that. Jesus was not at all what they were expecting. They thought the crowd was too loud and the parade was getting too big. "Who is that man?" someone asked. "What's going on here?" asked another. The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, God's king. He has come to save us." Some of the religious leaders murmured, "Hush! Jesus, tell your friends to be quiet. It's way too loud here." But Jesus said, "We can try to make these people be quiet, but that wouldn't make a difference because today the whole earth is celebrating."
Thank you, Caitlin. Reminding us of why we are on this Lenten journey. And so that we will take the opportunity learning from you each Sunday about all the different steps through Holy Week. So thank you for that. Let us sing together before you head out to Junior Church. Today we're going to share in the responsive psalm, Psalm 32. It will be on the screen, but also in Voices United, 759. Blessed are those whose offenses are forgiven, whose sin has been put away.
Blessed are those to whom God imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
When I kept silence, my body wasted away while I groaned all the day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My strength dried up as in summer drought.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you, my guilt I did not hide.
I said, "I will confess my sins to God, and you repay the guilt of my sins."
Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you in time of trouble. You are a hiding place for me. You will preserve me from trouble.
You will surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will teach you and guide you in the way you should go. Be not like a horse or mule without understanding,
whose course must be checked with bit and bridle.
Many pains are in store for the wicked.
But whoever trusts in God is surrounded by steadfast love.
Be God.
all glorious gods. Amen.
Now the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was one of the 12, for he went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray him to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Why are you doing this? A question that comes to the minds of many of us at times throughout life. The disciples, like us, wanted to know the answer to this question as they were advised to journey along the road in Bethphage near Jerusalem, reaching a place named the Mount of Olives. I can imagine that after being on the road for some time, the disciples couldn't help but think of resting and getting something to eat when they saw a place named in such a manner. Instead, they were told by Jesus that he wanted them to go to a stranger's house in the village, find a donkey tied to a colt, untie them, and bring them back to him. Flabbergasted by this request, they spoke to Jesus in an almost joking way, saying, "When we do this odd request and get caught, what is it you suppose we say?" Jesus replied in a much more serious tone, "Tell them the Lord sent you." Looking back on the history of this passage, I found an amazing resource. Some answers are in the book The Last Week by Marcus J. Borg and John Dominic Crossan. While reading it, I was taken through this story, and I invite you all to listen to it today. In the book, the authors suggest that there are two processions in this biblical story. Both still leave us wondering at times. One was a peasant procession. The other was an imperial procession. Now, let us take a minute to imagine this. Jesus, not in the time we think of now, not as a savior or holy, not as a human sacrifice for our sins, not the Son of God, and not very important. At the start of this first half of the story, Jesus is an ordinary person coming from the peasant village of Nazareth. As Jesus traveled, many people asked him what he was doing. Jesus' message was about the kingdom of God, and his followers, as we think of them, came from the peasant class. But Jesus wasn't the only one making a statement on this day. On the opposite side of the city, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Idumea, Judea, and Samaria, had entered Jerusalem at the head of a column of imperial cavalry and soldiers. In a way, both were kings of the land, and some people at that time would say neither was better or more important than the other. If we dive deeper into the reasons for this battle between the two, we put ourselves in that time and imagine that many people on both sides would have asked, "Why are you doing this?" On the one hand, Jesus' procession proclaimed the kingdom of God, while Pilate's proclaimed the power of an empire. Let us think about this here for a moment and imagine Pilate's transition into Jerusalem. Cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, armor, helmets, weapons, banners, golden eagles mounted on poles, the sun glinting on metal and gold, the sounds of marching feet, the creaking of leather, the clinking of bridles, the beating of drums, and the swirling of dust that comes into your eyes and blinds you. According to Roman imperial theology, the emperor was not merely the ruler of Rome, but the Son of God. In this period, people like Pontius Pilate were called Son of God, Lord, Savior, or the one who brought peace on earth. Therefore, we are left to ask, are Pontius Pilate and Jesus much different from one another? Whether we like it or not, the two processions embody the central conflict that led to Jesus' crucifixion. As we return to Jesus' story and we enter Jerusalem, we find that Jesus had a plan. He knew what was going to happen. He knew there was no risk in sending his disciples to fulfill the scriptures. The message is clear here. It is drawn from the prophet Zechariah in the Jewish Bible. In the passage, Zechariah says that a king would come to Jerusalem, embracing Zion, humble, and riding a donkey. In this gospel passage in Matthew, when he recounts Jesus entering to Jerusalem, it makes this connection explicit by quoting that passage. "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." When we reference Jesus riding on a donkey, it signifies the banishment of war from the land. There will be no more chariots, war horses, or bows. Jesus will command peace to the nations, and he will be the King of Peace. Jesus' procession deliberately countered what was happening on the other side of that city. Pilate's procession embodied the power, the glory, and the violence of the empire that ruled the world, while Jesus' procession embodied that different vision, the kingdom of God. As we are sitting here, the question becomes how we can relate this to our world today. This confrontation between these two kingdoms continues in wars, destruction, disagreements, and the power and control of different religions. We all know that eventually Jesus will be executed by the powers that rule this world, just as those powers have brought forth death and darkness to others. This oppression in the world causes pain, and it leaves the city of hope and the faithful city that God was trying to establish through Jesus, Jerusalem, the city of joy, has at times been lost amid what is happening around us. So we return to that question of why we do this. We come to worship to create a place of peace. We strive to live in a world that understands turmoil and dares to change it, so that history doesn't repeat itself. We embrace the shared calling to the holy city and to bring together what it means to continue becoming the Jerusalem that Jesus envisioned. Why did a very large crowd lay down their cloaks on the road and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road, saying, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord"? With his disciples knowing that Jesus' days on earth were numbered and that this was the last time he would travel that way. This scene is critical to the days of worship and the scripture that follow. It sets the stage for what is to come. The palm branches are historically used in Jewish culture to celebrate. And in this instant, waving them shows the victory of Jesus becoming king. The laying of the cloaks signifies a welcoming of royalty and is a sign of respect, as a cloak in that time was a valuable item. It also symbolizes us giving our lives to Jesus and committing to following in his ways. Here, Jesus shows us he is the Messiah. He makes a public display of his commitment to what God has asked. We are all to profess our faith and stand up to show that we are Christians and that we believe in the Word. We believe in growing the community of faith. And as faithful disciples, we are to carry on Jesus' work through preaching and prayer, continuing his messages from his personal ministry to the vision God had when he gave his only son, making this ministry worldwide for all people to hear. The next time we think about why we do this, remember that on this final journey through Jerusalem, we were asked to lay down our cloaks, take out our palm branches, and wave them high and proudly as we continue to celebrate the story that Jesus has asked us all to tell. In Jesus' name, let it be so. Amen.
All you children. and near, I'm headed for the promised land. Trouble soon will disappear, I'm headed for the promised land. When I reach it, there will be love and happiness awaiting for me. Come along and you will see, I'm headed for the promised land.
I'll be singing freedom's song, I'm headed for the promised land. That's the place where I belong, I'm headed for the promised land. I'll get there one day, I know, now I've started, I'm raring to go. Where the milk and honey flow, I'm headed for the promised land.
Listen, don't you hear that trumpet sounding forth the call? Oh, children, won't you rise and follow one and all? Better days are now in view, I'm headed for the promised land. All my dreams are coming true, I'm headed for the promised land. Want to leave the past behind, face the future with a hopeful mind. Peace and joy I'll surely find, I'm headed for the promised land. All you children, children,
here for soon a
trouble soon will disappear.
For the promised land.
I'll be singing song, I'm headed for the promised land.
I want to find
that's the place where I belong. I'm headed for the promised land.
I belong with
fate in there. One day I know
where
now I'm started and I'm raring to go. Where our milk and honey flow,
I'm heading for the promised land.
Won't you rise and follow one and all?
Better days are
now in view, I'm headed for the promised land. All my dreams are coming true, I'm headed for the promised land.
I'll leave the past behind
and kiss the future with a hopeful mind. Peace and joy I'll surely find,
I'm heading for the promised land. Heading for the promised land. Heading for the promised land.
Good morning. And they put me after that. Talking about the promised land, though, this is a little bit about where play builds community, and that kind of leads into a promised land as well. 6-year-old Amara said, "I'm going to sleep here." Now, she was under a table when she said that, and she, along with her sisters, she hides from her family at the Tompkin Grove after-school program's pickup time. This is a common occurrence because every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., the children feel that 2 hours together is not enough. Through the passion of Westminster United Church in Mississauga, Ontario, the Tompkin Grove after-school program aims to encourage community among local children. The program creates a recreational space outside of school where neighborhood kids can spend time together in an electronics-free environment. Some form of physical activity is always scheduled. Dance battles, obstacle courses, hula hooping. spending time outdoors, and more. Snacks such as fresh fruits and yogurt keep the kids healthy and energized, and everyone is involved in cleanup responsibilities for snack and outdoor time, and this encourages independence and innovation. Your gifts through mission and service help programs like this as they encourage community and connection. Thank you.
I think you did just fine as a follow-up. That's an amazing story of how we can reach out to community and create a promised land. Well done. Today, I'm not Nancy, but I do have a faithful reminder, a couple of things. One is that after worship today, you're more than welcome to come into the auditorium. I've been told I can't linger, so I'll be back at the back of the church, and then I have to go into the auditorium, and we'll be having tea and coffee and chat. So come into the auditorium, and hopefully we'll have a celebration. Hopefully we'll have a celebration. It's still 1-1, but hopefully we'll have a celebration. And as part of our manual, I do have to share this announcement, not only in the bulletin, but out loud. Please mark on your calendars Sunday, March 8, 2026, and plan to attend the 2025 Annual Congregational Meeting of Trinity United Church, Summerside, to be held in the sanctuary following the in-person worship service. This will be as an in-person meeting only. So just to let you know that the service that day probably will be a little bit shorter, probably usually about 45, 50 minutes, and then we will give you time, those who can't stay for the meeting. You're all welcome to stay for the meeting, and then we'll have the annual meeting. Again, that's on March the 8th. As we change our focus to a focus of promise and blessing and offering, Bill will bring up the offering plate as a symbol of time, talent, and treasure, all the offerings that we bring. For those who are able, please rise, and we will share in a blessing over the offering. Please join me in prayer, and let us pray. Loving Creator, help us to remember that we were made to love, and in doing so, we bring who we are. We bring our talents, we bring our offerings, so that it may continue to show the loving ministry of your church out into the world. Bless our offering as you have blessed us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And let us pray. Gracious God, today we think about something in our lives that helps make us smile. We think about something in our lives that makes us happy. Today, we claim this time to think about something in our lives that we are grateful for. Forgiving God, today, we think about something that has happened that may be causing us pain right now. Perhaps it is something that we have done. Perhaps it is something that has been done to us. Whatever it is, we are ready to give it to you, O God, that the hurt might be healed and whatever is broken might be made whole. Loving Creator, today we think about someone or something or some place we know of that is in need of your particular attention. It might be something quite personal. It might be something so very far away. We pray for space. We pray as we lay all the burdens down that we're reminded that your yoke is light. We come now as a people of God in a season of Lent, ready to listen, ready to lay down our burdens, ready to learn, ready to respond. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Going into overtime?
No.
It's tied?
Yes.
It's still tied?
Yes.
Okay. As we leave this place today, I commission you all to be alert, to stand firm in the faith, to be valiant and strong, and let all that you do be done out of love. Amen.